Hey, have you considered becoming a Great Commission partner? If you do, you'll be joining others who believe like you and are determined to defend against those who want to destroy God's institution of the family. You'll also receive some great benefits, like full access to AFA Stream, a monthly subscription to our magazine, access to exclusive donor events, and more as our thanks for your support. Please stop by afr.net/donate today for all the details. afr.net/donate.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. Wednesday, May the 14th, 2025. Is the date, and joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
And good morning. Glad to be back. It's been a couple days.
Yeah, how long has it been since you were on?
I missed a week, all last week, and then I missed yesterday.
Do you have an excuse from the doctor?
No, I don't have an excuse from the doctor.
You weren't hunting.
No hunting. That season's come and gone, and don't remind me about it, okay?
Why is that? Is it not a good one?
There is no hunting season right now.
Oh, you miss it.
It'd be like if you're a college football fan and football.
There's no football for 7 months. Okay, I got you.
I got 7 months.
Chris Woodward, good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
And Ray Pritchard, good morning, Brother Ray.
Well, good morning, Tim. How are you doing today?
Everything's good. It's going to be 85 degrees here in Tupelo, MS today. What about KCKS?
Hey, let me tell you, this is amazing. It's actually going to be warmer. This is very unusual. A little hotter here than in Tupelo. That almost never happens. We're going to hit 90 degrees, 90 and sunny weather. Wow. So yesterday, you guys were saying a lot of rain. Is that gone?
It's gone. Or,
okay.
It's good. Like it never happened. Mississippi... Well, and the southeastern part of the United States in general receives more rain than any other region of the country. I don't know if that's Gulf moisture or what, but we get about 58 to 60 inches of rain annually in the state, and that would be true of Alabama, Louisiana, you know. So it rains in the springtime. It rains a lot. Mm-hmm. It rains a lot here. But, hey, it greens everything up, right?
That's good. That's right. It gets the golf courses ready.
So that's right.
Go out and play 18 holes.
But it seems like in August we get zero. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like.
That's right.
You know what I'm just, saying?
It's so humid.
Yeah. Well, you know, you grew up in Alabama, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. August is a good time to be in the mountains, go to the lake, right?
That is true. That's a true thing. Allison, my wife and I, we've talked about going to Canada maybe in August.
Yeah.
Have you ever been?
Well, Canada? Yes, I've been to Montreal.
Okay. I highly recommend the Canadian side of Niagara Falls. If you're in that part,
I have been. Yeah, I've been
there.
Do
take the time to see the Canadian side. It's more picturesque than what you see in America.
Yeah.
Well, with those with families that have kids in schools, you're stuck if you're in the South because school starts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you mean in August?
In August, school starts in August, so there is no traveling.
Yeah.
Now, you got Labor Day, you can make a trip, but.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, and same as Ray, probably, you know what I'm about to say, Ray?
Yes.
School started after Labor Day, right?
That's right, as God intended, after,
hey,
after Labor
wait
Day.
Wait a minute, I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
After Labor Day?
After
that was like
Labor
the March?
Yeah, like the Tuesday after Labor Day
that's
when
exactly
school started.
Right. Huh. That's right.
And
so you could still get out and have your vacation in the middle of August, but
and now they're talking about school year round.
I know.
Well, that's abominable.
I'm gonna go homeschool if they do
and
that, man. And we're gonna start on the Tuesday after Labor Day.
And I've heard a few people make a reasonable case once you hear them out on how they intend on doing it by making holidays longer. But the problem is that the advertisement of year round school. You have to advertise it differently,
right?
Because that is a no-show.
Right.
Even though I don't go to school anymore, I'm going to speak on behalf
right
of the kids that can't
everywhere
speak for themselves.
Yeah, no, on year-round school.
No. When I was a kid, I was like, can we play? Like, I would have been more content with staying until 4 if we could start at 9.
Right.
And no one ever listened to me. I'm not better.
Can't do that because the parents got to be at work. Yeah. So, all right, a lot to talk about today. Lots happening in the world. By the way, next hour, we're going to talk about the Noah's Ark potentially discovered in Turkey. You heard me right. We're going to talk about that. Ray, you want to give us a 60-second preview of maybe what our conversation will be?
Yeah, we've been looking. They've been looking. Explorers have been looking for Noah's Ark, and we've come tantalizingly close. But, Tim, there's a strange rock formation over there that just might be the actual literal landing place of Noah and the Ark. And it's we don't know. We're not going to say for sure, but they found something over there, Tim.
Yeah.
And they've done some testing. So stick around, folks. This is a great, exciting story.
So we're going to post that story on our website. It's a link to the Daily Mail story about this discovery, the latest on that discovery in the country of Turkey. All right, Chris, what's the first story you have there in your stack?
Well, the president of the United States remains in the Middle East for it's day two of his 4-day trip to the Middle East, where he is meeting with various nations to discuss economic deals. I've got several sound bites from President Trump here. I lost my place. He says he's making good on his promises to not just enhance economic partnerships in the region, but also to embrace the possibilities of new ones, including with Tehran. Clip one.
I want to make a deal with Iran. I want to do something if it's possible. But for that to happen, it must stop sponsoring terror, halt its bloody proxy wars, and permanently and verifiably cease its pursuit of nuclear weapons. They cannot have a nuclear weapon.
Yes.
Well, any thoughts on what he just said, Wesley?
No, other than
amen.
I'm MAGA, so I agree.
about what he said there, Ray?
Well, look, good luck. Good luck getting the Iranians to actually agree to that and then to allow verifiable examination. Remember, that was part of the problem. When we went through all this with Saddam Hussein in Iraq 20-plus years ago, sure, there's no weapons over here, but we're not going to let you come in and inspect. So I think it's a worthy goal. I wish the president all the best, but I think the Iranians want nuclear weapons. It's going to be hard to get them to agree and to allow us to do the inspections to prove that they don't have nuclear weapons.
Trump also noted that the U.S. has an unwavering commitment to seeing a lasting end of hostilities in Gaza. Clip three.
In Gaza, my administration shares the hope of so many in this region for future of safety and dignity of the Palestinian people. But that cannot happen as long as Gaza's leaders take delight in raping, torturing, and murdering innocent people. Can't have it. Ultimately, all hostages of all nationalities must be released as a stepping stone to peace.
Now, this, I think, is one of the reasons why you can't just go with the headline of a news story, because you see a headline saying Trump is committed to, you know, an ending of hostilities in Gaza. You would think he's taking the Biden approach, like Israel's got to stop it. But clearly he is sympathetic and aware of the plight that Israel is in, having people wanting to annihilate them right down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, what we just heard from President Trump a part of the earlier soundbite. Mm-hmm. So he had a press statement is he taking Q&A?
I don't know that he did in this particular instance. He's going to be speaking again later today, so we could get some questions and answers at that point.
Well, the Middle East has always been, and perhaps always will be, to simplify it, a mess.
a quagmire.
It's just, you know, it's a jigsaw puzzle that's hard to put it all together. Now, so President Trump is doing the best that he can in his administration in bringing some peace and order to that region of the world in as much as he can do that. I think reaching out to Iran is an interesting idea. He basically saying, if you want to join the rest of the world, then you need to do these things. Mm-hmm. You need to give up your nuclear weapon quest. You need to quit funding, you know, terrorist organizations like Hamas and the Houthis and the Hezbollah and such. But I don't know. As long as the mullahs, which are the Muslim clerics of Iran, control the country, and they do ever since Ayatollah Khomeini back in the 79 or whatever it was, they had the Islamic Revolution. These people are driven by ideology. They're not driven necessarily by practicality or money or the desire to have peace. Now, money, I don't know. They have a country of ever how many millions of people living around.
So there may be a certain number that
they won't. They won't. You know, you don't want millions of people out in the streets. That could lead to a different kind of revolution.
Mm, right.
And if they don't have jobs and income, then you know what I'm saying. And these sanctions they have against Iran are serious. So President Trump's doing everything that he possibly can, and I think that's my view of bringing peace and order to the Middle East and trying to bring Iran to heel, so to speak. And we'll see, you know, what it accomplishes. But many presidents have gone before him, trying to deal with Iran.
Speaking of presidents, Trump also met with the new Syrian president, whose name is Ahmad al-Shara, Ahmad al-Shara.
I'll write this down.
And he here's President Trump making this statement about U.S.-Syria relations. Clip 2.
We're currently exploring normalizing relations with Syria's new government, as you know, beginning with my meeting with President Ahmad al-Shara, also ordering the cessation of sanctions against Syria to give them a fresh start. It gives them a chance for greatness. The sanctions were really crippling, very powerful.
Here's what I think. If this was Joe Biden or Kamala Harris making this statement, people today would be, you know, nominating them for like a Nobel Prize for Peace. Donald Trump is trying to bring stability to the region by doing deals that are going to help their country as well as ours. Right. And people on the left could not care less.
Yeah, well, they have TDS.
That's very true.
Okay. Go ahead, Ray.
Okay, so we're talking about three different regions here. We're talking about Trump is amazing. Somebody said to me last night, he's not like anybody else. In every possible way, he's not like anybody else. So he goes to the Middle East, and he's working to make a deal with Iran and to do something in Gaza and to do something in Syria all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Of those three right now, I think doing something in Gaza is the most difficult because Hamas is still, they've been bloodied and beaten, but they're still in control there. That's the hardest one. I think where he can make the most progress may be in Syria, which we have, in other programs over the years, we've called it a kind of snake pit what to do in Syria. I think it's a pretty good move. Lift the sanctions. You got the new leadership over there. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Iran, I would put number two in the possibility. And guys, everybody, we're going to have to be patient. That's a long-term project.
Yeah.
But God bless the president.
Yeah.
He's trying to make a deal on every possible side at the same
time. Yeah, not to mention the country he's in there, Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Dealing with them as well. But, so is this a four-day trip, you say?
Yes.
Go ahead, Wesley.
I was going to ask, drilling down on Gaza.
I like the drilling down part since we're talking about Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, you like good. That. Yeah. It was unintended pun.
Right.
There you go. And that was a pun, by the way.
It was
not,
a pun.
Ed's not here
Ed's not here to tell you it wasn't.
That's right.
For me, it wasn't.
At what point is it? Because we're coming up on, it's been coming up on 3 years on the Gaza attack.
Yeah.
Okay, so at what point? Is it year 5, 6, 7, 8, or a decade? Do you just go in? Because the reason is it mine. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is it not because of the hostages that is now delayed the complete takeover, right? Is that it?
Israel has been continuing on now, as I understand it, you know, with their control, trying to do everything they can to, and they basically have operating control of Gaza, okay?
Okay.
And that they can bomb whatever they want to. They can go into anywhere they want to with their military presence.
So what keeps them from finishing the job and just completely eliminating?
Well, you got to kill a bunch of people.
Okay. Other than military people, that's what I'm talking about.
You can't distinguish the two. It's very difficult to do. That's part of the problem, isn't it, Ray?
Remember,
the civilians are mixed in with the terrorists.
Before 2005, Israel had direct control of Gaza, and they voluntarily gave it up because it's not tenable for Gaza. I don't think is ever going to become a part of the nation of Israel. I think what they want, Wesley, is what they've got right now, operational control. I think the problem is not on the military side, it's on the civilian or political side, that the next step is to get an Arab government in there that is not Hamas related.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
How do you do that?
Right. That's what they're trying to figure out.
Okay.
Right now. And it's very, very difficult, very, very complex. And you've got to find a way to break the control of Hamas over the people of Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to do because the Hamas runs Gaza kind of like the mafia runs the neighborhood, okay? And so if your family bucks them, then your family gets knocked off one by one by one.
Yeah.
And it teaches everybody else in the neighborhood, you better...
That's not metaphorically.
That's where the mafia really operated back in the day. Mm-hmm. In a lot of American big cities, namely Chicago, New York, for example. So, but it's very intimidating, and nobody else is going to say anything critical of the mob because they don't want their family visited. So it's the same type thing in Gaza with Hamas, so it makes it very difficult to break their stronghold and their control. And they raise their children over there, sadly, to hate the Jews from the time they're 1 year old. Mm-hmm. You know,
we've seen videos of that in their education system.
Yeah, so it's so you have to deal with Hamas with force, and that's what Israel's doing. And when they do that, sadly, sometimes innocent women and children die, are injured because Israel has to fight an urban war, basically, because the Hamas hides behind mosques and hospitals, and they blend in with the population, and the general population makes it very difficult for they're not like an army to come out with their uniforms on,
right,
and say, here we are, we're ready to fight you. They don't do that. They do guerrilla warfare. They do terrorist activities like they did on October the 7th. Was that 2023?
When
was that?
That's right.
2023. So you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. President Donald Trump is in the Middle East for another 2 days. Where does he go next? Does he leave Saudi Arabia today?
This 4-day trek includes stops in the UAE. I think he's even going to have some talks with the people in Qatar, the folks that want to donate him a big plane.
Qatar or Cotter, Ray?
Qatar. You hear it said a couple different ways.
I'm glad Fred isn't here.
That's right.
Fred calls it Cotter. I call it Cutter.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Ray, I couldn't tell if you did that on purpose.
Some people say, you know, Qatar and like it's Carter
yeah,
sauce.
You hear yeah. Guitar.
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 Yeah. Guitar.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are all yes. Arab nations, UAE, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, so he's basically dealing with what's the country wanting to give him that big $400 million airplane?
The one that people mispronounce, possibly.
Yeah, Cutter.
Cutter.
What's the latest? Any news on that?
Well, he is still saying it's completely fine and there's nothing wrong with this deal, but even people like Rand Paul.
It's not a deal, though.
I don't know about that.
Mean a deal in the general sense. This country is wanting to give him a gift, but I don't think he can take it as president. I think he's going to have to either.
They're not giving it to him personally.
Right.
No,
it's not like Mr. Trump is going to fly the plane home himself.
He himself said it would be a gift to the Defense Department. Right. Which he does oversee.
I don't see anything wrong with that. Now, he can't accept a gift like that on a personal level because it would, I think there are laws forbidding that for government officials, congressmen, senators, so forth, because you don't want to be perceived as taking a gift in return for a favor that you otherwise wouldn't get from the president.
On the question that you asked, is there any updates? About a half hour ago, the headline reads, Trump announces a $200 billion Boeing deal with Qatar, and he signed that agreement today, Wednesday, to purchase 160 jets from a U.S. manufacturer.
Good Boeing. Night. 160 jets? Like commercial, or did they say?
Reads, I understand it to be commercial.
That's a lot of jets. That's like a whole fleet. But there are, what are the airlines over there that operate? There's the United Arab Emirates. They have their own Emiratus. Right. You see them?
Emirati.
Emirati.
Right. And there's a Qatar Airways, okay. Right?
Yeah, there is. Is there a Saudi Airways?
I don't know what.
There's an Air Arabia.
Okay.
That might be.
So there's a lot of countries
from Kuwait.
With airline fleets over there. So what President Trump is... said that Qatar is going to buy planes from an American company, namely Boeing, here, right?
That's right. $200 billion worth, 160 jets.
Yeah. It's good news for Boeing.
Yeah.
And for the American economy.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, this trip has sparked some wild conspiracy theories.
Has it?
Yes, it has. So yesterday, or during this trip, there was a photo opportunity to where the president was handed a cup of coffee along with other members of his cabinet that made this trip. And Trump, not being a coffee drinker, he likes Diet Coke. Trump just sits there awkwardly, not really knowing what to do. And so that launched a whole bunch of conspiracy theories on X, formerly known as Twitter, on why he isn't drinking the coffee. One person said that they believe Trump didn't swallow the drink over assassination fears. Could be possible poison, this person says. Secret Service tells him not to consume anything given to him without being tested first. And then a whole bunch of people just started weighing in after that. Don't trust the Saudis.
Was Vance there with him? Wasn't Vance that was with him, or was that Rubio?
I see Rubio.
Rubio, okay. Rubio is the one. The guy to his left, I didn't get a good look at him. Rubio.
Just to set the scene here. You have the president of the United States with the Saudi leader.
Yes.
Right. And
which we're not going to try to pronounce his name again. We've already tried.
He's the, what do they call him? Crown Prince?
Oh, that's Mohammed bin Salman Al Saud.
Yeah.
That's the man right there.
Yeah. So he's, just call him the Crown Prince.
There
right?
you go.
I call him Ben.
So he's, they're having this ceremonial tea / coffee, I guess. Where they bring it out and all of them are supposed to partake of it, and President Trump doesn't.
Right.
Well, he holds it.
He doesn't shoo him away.
I don't.
He receives it. He just doesn't participate.
Right, but I don't blame him. If the Secret Services don't think, and maybe somebody from the Secret Service had already tested it. I don't know.
Well, Marco Rubio drank his. So
he did?
Yeah, he drank.
Did it come
and
from
he
the
asked
pot?
For, it looked like he asked for more. So apparently that one.
That's because Rubio has like 9 jobs.
Yeah, but if Trump doesn't drink coffee anyway, he wouldn't drink it. So okay, he's a Diet Coke guy.
He is a Diet Coke guy. Now he does love.
He
McDonald's.
And Ed would get along great.
Yeah.
Well, it's the question then. Why didn't he? Let's say he's not a coffee drinker. Fine.
Right.
So wouldn't he have at least lifted it up to his mouth to
pretend
to take a sip?
I'm just asking.
I don't think so.
All we have is this where he's awkwardly holding the cup and saucer in his hand as he's
talking. Yeah, I saw the video. He just sat there. He didn't do anything disrespectful. He just didn't participate in it.
He just didn't do anything.
Hey, right, he just held the coffee cup.
That was
a pretty pitiful looking coffee cup.
It was like an espresso, but they say that's really strong.
You would expect a
coffee cup by the Crown Prince of
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
be made out of gold or something.
Yeah, something more opulent than a Dixie cup.
Not a Dixie cup, right.
It's a Dixie cup. Well, smaller than a Dixie cup. It was a little shot glass.
It does look like one of those
paper.
Office things.
A shot glass.
Not that I know what that is.
But we've heard.
Yeah, we've heard. So a friend of mine said.
Saw a picture on the internet.
We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
When a woman experiences an unplanned pregnancy, she often feels alone and afraid. So many times her first response is to seek out an abortion. But because of the generosity of listeners like you, that search may lead her to a Preborn Network clinic. Preborn offers God's love and compassion to hurting women and then provides a free ultrasound to introduce them to the life growing inside them. This combination brings the ultimate miracle of life to life and doubles a baby's chance at life, which is why Preborn saw over 67,000 babies rescued last year alone. Meet Maddie. Maddie was in a tough situation as she wasn't sure who the father was. But after receiving counseling, prayer, and a free ultrasound at a Preborn Network clinic, everything changed. Maddie discovered she had twins and found the strength she needed to choose life. Your tax-deductible donation of $28 sponsors one ultrasound. How many babies can you save? Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com AFR. That's preborn.com AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray, did you have something you wanted to announce, Wesley, or tell us about?
Yes, I do. Tomorrow, we will be releasing AFA at Home Episode 7. So over the last couple of years, we've released these 45 to an hour short conversations about particular topics over the years, and we've had 6 episodes we've already released. You can find those at stream.afa.net. The 7th episode comes out tomorrow. It's released at 6 p.m. Central Time, and the topic is the future of education in America. And we have a lot of very special guests that are on, including Abe Hamilton III, Toby Paxton, who's on the school board research for iVoter Guide. We had Julian Pickering, Dr. Jameson Taylor, and Ryan Walters. Ryan Walters has been in the news recently as Oklahoma State Superintendent of Public Education, Public Instruction. And so they sit down and they discuss the future of public education as it relates to our foundings, where we are now, and what we can advocate for in the future. And so we release that tomorrow, and you can find release that tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central Time on Thursday, May the 15th, and you can find that at stream.afa.net.
Stream.afa.net. Is that where we have a lot of resources there, don't we?
A lot of resources, a lot of free resources. There's some that require you to be a monthly subscriber or a monthly supporter or donor of the work that we do here at AFA and AFR. But over 60-70% of it's free. You'll be able to watch this for free tomorrow for a certain period of time, and then after a couple of weeks, we'll put it behind the paywall.
Okay. So again, that's a video. We're calling it AFA at Home because it's we do take a particular topic and we explore it from a constitutional and a Christian perspective, and it's very comprehensive, and it's the discussion does include 5 or 6 people there.
That's right, and we call it AFA at Home because we host it at our own home headquarters here at AFA. And it's a roundtable discussion.
Right. So. And the topic is the future of education in America, which is very timely right now. So I like what they're doing in Oklahoma, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
So he's going to be on.
Ryan Walters will be on as well. He's part of the panel
discussion.
He's
like the superintendent of education for the state.
That's right.
That isn't the proper title, but that's in essence what he is.
Yep. A lot of good stuff.
So where do you go to watch? This is streamed.
That's right. We're going to release it tomorrow.
Okay.
It's called semi-live because we have recorded it, but we're going to release it, and people will get to watch it live for the first time tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central Time.
Recorded live before a That's an audience, a living audience.
That's right. It's
recorded live.
Stream.afa.net.
Oh, he's like that. Recorded live. Recorded for a live audience. So what are the kind of audiences there?
Right.
Recorded before a bunch of dead people. Right here. We got it. Sorry, that was inappropriate. I shouldn't have said that. All right. So we are now going to talk to one of the folks who are on this video, panel. Abraham Hamilton III, who's general counsel for AFA here and host of the Hamilton Corner. Heard each afternoon on American Family Radio. Abe's show airs from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time. The Hamilton Corner. It's easily confused with, All Things Considered on NPR. As Abe is, he just has that monotone personality that he operates under. Abe, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, you know, I just lied right there. Here's how Abe. Here's how Abe starts out. Hey, Abraham Hamilton III. Off we go. And Abe gets wound up.
Yeah.
Abe gets wound up on some topics, and there you go. That's the Hamilton Corner.
Yes, right.
But
and it's his corner.
It's his corner, so he can
do
what
that's right.
He can do what he wants to. Good morning to you, brother.
Good morning.
Hey, but by the way, what was your role in this video that Wesley's talking about?
I contributed to the conversation, as you know, and many others know that I'm a homeschool dad. So I offered a perspective from a homeschool family concerning where homeschooling fits in panoply of education for America's future.
How many children do you homeschool?
We have 6 children that we are actively educating at home right now.
Grades what to what, if you had to grade?
My oldest just aced his algebra final exam just yesterday. Nice. Actually, he's in a hybrid, kind of a 9th, 10th grade, and all the way down to kindergarten with my 3-year-old.
We joked about this earlier about some of the schools considering going to year-round school, and we had some fun with that. Y'all do year-round school since you are homeschooled, or do you actually?
We've actually always done year-round. We do a lighter load in the summer months, but we do continue with instruction in the summer months.
Just don't tell your kids what you're doing, right? The year-round.
Yeah.
I'm joking because the joke was earlier is that if you promote it as year-round school, nobody
don't call it that.
Yeah, no, we don't call it that.
That's right. Because everybody needs a break, right?
Yeah. Our children say, this is our break. We're just doing 2 or 3 subjects.
That's right. That's it. I like it.
Let me ask you this. Homeschooling has just exploded the last 20 years, hasn't it, Abe?
Yeah. Yes, it has. It has.
Do you know the numbers or anything, or do you –
Well, in some states, there are no reporting requirements, and so that's some of the things that the regressives hate, that they don't know exactly how many people are doing it, but you have seen the numbers swell quite exponentially, and really, one of the driving things was during the COVID lockdown time period, when a lot of the people who were enrolled in public schools were finally getting to see what their children were being taught, and they were like, wait a minute, I didn't want my children to learn this. And so being at home gave them that many people their first taste of instructing their own children. And some of them said, man, we really, really like this. And so had chosen to continue that on even out beyond the COVID lockdown period.
Okay, Abe, I had you on. The topic I really want to discuss with you today is President Trump has been blocked at some of his efforts to reverse Joe Biden's millions of people came here into our country illegally. We didn't know who they were. We did know a lot of them were gang members and cartels began to have, operations here in the United States. We all know the numbers, like 10 to 15 million people who came here during Joe Biden's 4 years. It was just basically he put a y'all come sign out from around the world, and boy, did they ever. Why he did that, we all have speculations why he'd reversed everything President Trump had put in place in his first 4 years. But now President Trump, as he promised during his campaign, is trying to deport, especially the criminals, and some of these judges, federal judges, I guess mostly, I don't know how many of them have been trying to. Some of them, the liberal judges,
two judges, maybe three, trying to
block the president from deportation, from deporting these folks. Where does that stand today? Because there was a ruling yesterday.
Yeah, so you're right. A couple federal district court judges have, I guess, anointed themselves.
But they're still federal judges. I mean, it's a
Yeah, they're federal judges, and they have made rulings to that thwart the Trump administration's agenda with deportation. But you had a ruling yesterday from the United States District Court for the Western District of Pennsylvania. Judge Stephanie Haynes that ruled in the opposite direction. And specifically, what Judge Haynes ruled is that President Trump can utilize the Alien Enemies Act to deport illegal aliens, and specifically in reference to Trinidad Aragua members who have with Trinidad Aragua.
What is that? What is that for people who don't know? They've heard that, but
yeah. So Trinidad Aragua is a gang that originates from Venezuela that the United States government has also deemed as a foreign terrorist organization. And these are the people. Many people saw the reports of the Denver and the Colorado apartment complexes that were taken over by armed illegal immigrants. Well, those were members of the Trinidad Aragua gang. And so first, that organization had been identified as a foreign terrorist organization. Secondarily, the Trump administration connected the dots, showing that the Venezuelan government actually had played an active role in sending Trinidad Aragua members to the United States of America for the express purposes of wreaking havoc. And so President Trump employed the Alien Enemies Act, which I think it's important for listeners to know is not the exclusive mechanism for deporting illegal aliens. It is one of several tools that are available to do so. But Judge Haynes ruled yesterday that the Trump administration can use the Alien Enemies Act to deport foreign terrorist organization members, specifically Trinidad Aragua members, from our country.
Let me ask you this, and then Ray may have a question. But, you know, sometimes when Democrats, liberals, progressives, labels that are interchangeable there in a lot of respects, but they do things that make me scratch my head, and I say, whose side are you on? Okay? And oftentimes they do this, and you have violent criminals who are being deported, okay, and you wonder, and then the Democrats scream bloody murder and say, no, this shouldn't happen without due process. And you just wonder,
or they let them out the back door.
Yeah, like, are these like these two judges that we've talked about here, who want to fight against ICE and let the criminals step out the back door of a courtroom?
Yeah, not figuratively, literally.
That's not a
metaphor or an allegorical expression. Yeah. That literally happened.
And so that happened in Wisconsin. In fact, that judge has been charged now by a grand jury. And it's a big deal in the state of Wisconsin. A state judge the grand jury?
For the grand
jury. So for those who didn't hear, this state judge had a criminal in her courtroom. And he was a foreigner, I mean, he was an illegal alien in the courtroom.
Who had been previously deported, by the way.
Yeah. Had been previously deported. He's back in the U.S. He's back in court for something he did. And the judge, this lady judge, finds out that ICE is waiting for him in the foyer, basically, of the courthouse. And she gets mad and says, basically, how can I help him escape ICE? And she helps him slip out the back door to run away. Now they caught him, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. And I just go, whose side are they on? Are you on? Any thoughts on why this is?
I think the conduct communicates whose side they're on. And we're talking specifically in this instance about Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan. That's her name. Who did this. In this instance, it's clear she was on the side of the previously deported illegal alien who was in her court because of an assault on another person in the United States of America. Criminal assault but she was more committed to helping him escape ISIS detention than she was concerned with protecting American citizens.
Why? I know I'm asking a rhetorical question here, but what is the thinking on the left that supports something like that?
Yeah, I mean, you're asking me to do something, do the impossible. You want me to feed 5,000 while we're at it, Tim? I'm sure.
I know, right?
Honestly, I don't know, but what the specific motivation for her, but a lot of people like her have expressed their desire to really see foreigners overrun our country. Unfortunately, we've seen that. You know, we see some in the government apparatus who want to see them overrun our country so that California, what they've experienced with massive illegal immigration, will be exported to the rest of the country.
Go ahead, Wesley.
Well, I was just to add to the how do you get here conversation, it's one thing. I disagree with allowing anybody to break the law. I mean, however, you do have some people that are just overly, they have a misunderstanding of compassion and love and all that, and so then they're like, hey, let them come, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's one.
Some Christians are in
some Christians
category.
Are in the camp. Sure. Okay, but here's this is where I just don't understand. This is why I'm glad she's being charged criminally, is because this guy has a rap sheet. Just to give you one of many of his crimes, he was arrested for punching a person 30 times in the face.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just one of many things. So you read that as a judge. This is not the one. This is not the 10% of the examples of the family that came over that was trying to escape poverty.
Right, right.
This is a guy who has beaten someone
and been deported already
and
once.
That's where I don't have any sympathy, or I don't have any patience, or understanding for a judge that has this type of worldview.
Yeah. So, Ray, anything to add or say about this?
Yeah, Abe, I want to ask a question about this law. This Alien Enemies Act, and it's always said this way, Abe, of 1798. Okay, wow.
Was drafted in 1787, so, I mean, what's the relevance of the date of the law? But anyway, go ahead, I'm sorry.
But that is really my question. I mean, that's a law that goes almost back to the founding of our nation. Yeah. What's the background of what was going on in 1798 that made them pass this Alien Enemies Act, and what's the controversy involved in applying that act to what Mr. Trump is doing, deporting these criminal aliens?
Well, I'll start with the last question first. The controversy, like we've been talking, there's an energetic contingent in our country that is willing to, I'll say, endure illegal entrance into our nation of various migrants, but they don't want to see them deported. When the bottom line is for a misplaced compassion, you know, a displaced empathy, that they really feel duty bound to be the haven for the world. There's some people that have that posture. So the controversy is that, well, we don't want you to deport people. Now, going back, I mean, to the founding era, we have several things that were happening. I mean, following the Revolutionary War, you know, many people who study history, that the tensions with Great Britain and things didn't immediately end at that point. You know, you had the War of 1812 that followed thereafter. And so you had, efforts to really have people who appeared to be friendly to America that were actually hostiles, that were trying to come to the United States to subvert her from the inside. You recall, even when the presidential residence was burned from the inside, that was an act that took place by a foreign power working with domestic agents who were functioning within an espionage context. And so Congress recognized that and passed this statute to provide an expedited mechanism to have these types of people, once identified, removed from our country.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. What's coming up on the Hamilton Corner this afternoon?
You know, one of the things that I'm planning to talk about, which is not the biggest thing, but it just shows the true colors once again, that you have, for example, the Democrat Party that seems to be very undemocratic. You might remember that once Joe Biden announced he was stepping out of the race, they didn't have any primaries, anything. You said,
right, right.
Kamala Harris is the nominee with no anything. you know, where a similar thing has happened. You remember David Hogg, the guy who was going on his anti-gun tirade. Well, the DNC elected him to be vice chair of their party. And then after he was elected, duly elected, the Democrat Party says, nah, you know what? We don't think you should have that position. It just removed him. Just unilaterally removed him, overturned the votes of their party members. And it just once again shows that are they truly a Democratic body? Do they really care about the will of the people? And it's another exercise of an undemocratic display by the proverbial Democrat Party.
All right. Well, have a good afternoon. We will talk to you soon, Abe.
I will do my best with my NPR.
There you go. All things considered with That's Abraham right. Hamilton III, who is dispatched.
Salutations and greetings, one and all.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Abe.
All right. Thank you.
If you want a passionate take on the news of the day from a biblical worldview, tune in to Abraham Hamilton III every afternoon at 5 o'clock for the Hamilton Corner. You're listening to Today's Issues. We got about 6 or 7 minutes. What do you got there, Chris?
Well, I want to direct everybody's attention after the show to AFN.net, because on AFN.net, we have a story of a new undercover investigation of Planned Parenthood. To set this up, let me say this. Lila Rose of Live Action coordinated an undercover investigation of Planned Parenthood, which does abortions, of course, but they also are involved in things like cross-sex hormones for minors. And Lila pretended to be a minor, and she called various Planned Parenthoods around the country to confirm that Planned Parenthood is very easily handing out cross-sex hormones to minors like candy. Clip 8.
Hi, my name's Sophia. I'm just trying to schedule some gender-affirming care. I really just want to be able to get some testosterone to start my journey.
So we just have to start by booking your initial appointment so you can come in to see one of our providers.
Are you over 18?
No, I'm 16.
You're good to be seen here then, 16 and older.
Perfect. Okay, good. You're okay to do it for minors?
Yes, you can legally get hormones under 18. How old are you?
16. I know my mom has to come in with me. Does she have to be in there the whole time? Like, how does that work? Because I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
At some point of the appointment, maybe she doesn't have to be in the examining room with you.
You said I could do it virtually?
Yeah, you could do it virtually.
Now, she's pretending to be a minor seeking what is she seeking?
Cross-sex hormones.
What does that do?
That's what people are saying helps somebody's so-called transition to the opposite sex.
Okay. Like it suppresses testosterone for a male, or boosts estrogen for a male. I don't know how.
Correct.
That's what you're talking about.
She's saying that she's telling these Planned Parenthood workers that she is a girl who wants to become a boy.
And they're saying that basically those examples she gave right there, they're saying it doesn't matter that you're a minor.
Mm-hmm. We'll even do it virtually. Your parent doesn't have to be in the room the entire time. Crazy things.
She used the age 16. And
right.
I wonder if she told them back and do 14.
Yeah. Does that, what is she trying to prove?
Well, she's trying to prove that this is the reason why, we need to, in their words, defund Planned Parenthood, because not only are they killing hundreds of thousands of babies on an annual basis, they're also basically helping mutilate children, change their bodies, alter their bodies.
Planned Parenthood, they are the leading provider of abortions in America.
Of course, they help people plan for parenthood, too. Right?
Yeah, that, yeah right. No, they're in the abortion business.
That's right.
And now they'll claim, you know, they do some services like, you know, I don't know, breast cancer prevention or whatever they say, but
that's not where they make their money.
Right.
You know, they make their money killing the unborn and assisting in the mutilation of especially these teenage girls. Yeah. Especially, they make their money that way. They're a dark and evil and demonic organization, and would to God, let me say this different way. Would that the Republican senators would, I don't want to say what just popped in my mind, so I won't say it that way.
Yeah.
Would that the Republican senators got the courage to do what on the campaign trail say they're going to do, which is to defund this monstrously evil organization.
Now, in our coverage of this at AFN.net, we also interviewed Dr. Michael New. He's with the Charlotte Lozier Institute, and he went over Planned Parenthood's latest annual report, and found that while they are doing more abortions, all the other health services that they claim to be helping people with, those things are down. For example, cancer screenings fell by over 8%, primary care visits fell by over 13%, and UTI treatments fell by over 45%. So what does that mean? Planned Parenthood is killing more babies and doing fewer health care services at taxpayer expense, which is why New and Lila Rose and AFA Action and a whole bunch of groups say we need to defund Planned Parenthood.
The source you just quoted from is from American Family News. That's AFN.net. So is that going to be on the front page?
It is on the front page right now, and I posted it on our Facebook page. That is a story that you will not hear today on NPR.
Well, we've been advocating for years and years the defunding of Planned Parenthood by the federal government. The federal government gives Planned Parenthood millions of dollars in the name of family planning and treating diseases, disease prevention, things like that. What Planned Parenthood will say is that we don't use federal tax dollars to do abortions, but it's kind of like...
they just use it to facilitate it.
Yeah, they try to separate the bank account and say that we don't use it for abortions, when in fact it's just one big operation. It helps them keep the light on so they can do the abortions.
Right, that's money is fungible.
Yeah, so yeah, I agree with Ray. Pray for the end of funding for Planned Parenthood. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.